So today, by divine inspiration, my title is Christmas Peace, because we really need it. Not based upon yesterday, but based upon the times. Christmas Peace, that's our series that's going to weave through this blessing season. So if I could ask each of you personally, and I love it, I get to contact many of you, most of you, but if I could look in the eye and say, I could ask you personally, what would your one wish be for this blessing season? What would it be? Have you thought about it? One thing, and I know some of you would go, I wish for more wishes. I know, that sounds familiar. There's a lot of things that you might fill in the blank with, but here's the question I want to ask you, the double question. Would any of these things, or would that thing, give you a sense of permanent peace? And by the way, as I talk about peace, I just thought about it. Peace and hope go together, right? You can't have hope if you don't have peace. And when you have peace, you automatically have hope. So those are great Christmas words. So let's jump into the Christmas story, the traditional Christmas story from Luke 2. I read it often, the King James Version. We'll do that through the season. But in Luke chapter 2, I'm going to skip to verse 13 for the sake of time. Skip to verse 13, and here's the announcement. I'm smiling myself because some of us saw the best Christmas pageant ever. If you haven't, you should. We've read about it for years. And I can see that little girl in this verse. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying. The Bible doesn't say they were singing. It says they were saying. Notice that. Verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. They were pointing and praising. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Would they announce something that wasn't possible? I said, would the angel, the representative of heavens, announce something that would be unattainable or impossible? No, it is. Here's the question then. Is peace on earth possible? You know, for all the beauty pageants in days gone by, when you would ask them this deep question, what would they say? What's your one thing? World peace, world peace. I know. Is peace possible? Well, here's the answer I want to give you today, right up front. Externally, no. Externally, no. Peace is not possible based upon circumstances. Internal peace, yes. Exclamation point. Triple that, if you will. Peace. Jesus used those words. He would say in the Bible, in the New Testament, peace be with you, go in peace. Paul writing would say, grace and peace to you. Grace and peace go with you. These greetings and farewells were not accidental. They weren't just happenstance. See ya. They were for a reason, intentional. So I know this, and I believe you do know too, our online friends as well. This season, what many people need most is peace. Genuine, inside out peace, whether they know it or not. What your loved ones need is peace, whether they know it or not. The peace needed that we speak of is from heaven, a divine peace, if you will, that only God can give. God's peace is in real time, all the time, and all circumstance peace, because his peace gets in you because he is with you. My question today is, all of you, is God's peace in you? Not on you, in you. You can have all kinds of things in your hands, but no peace in your heart. True? You can look successful on the outside and people can be envious of you, but you could be empty and dry on the inside and peaceless. Many don't have God's peace and live in constant tension, anxiety, stress, and fear. In the blessing season, you desire peace in your relationships with family and friends, and you long for harmony and understanding. I think we all do. I've heard recent days and weeks some experts telling people to avoid Thanksgiving and Christmas tables with family and friends this year. I've thought about that. Instead, it seems to be the opposite of this peace, like hurt and unforgiveness and bitterness. This season, people really need peace in their lives. because those things are out there. Listen carefully. The last thing needed is another reason for and season of isolation. That's the last thing we need. Christmas, peace. Real time, all the time, all circumstance, peace. So a peaceful possibility. For that, I go to Isaiah 26, and I'll jump to verse 4 of the section that I had there. I'm going to go to verse 4, and here's the promise. I should say 3 and 4. Speaking of God in a very troubled time in history, you will keep in perfect peace all, is there anybody here who isn't included in all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. I capitalize both of those, the eternal rock. The context of this passage, if you would dig into it, was written about a time when fear and anxiety were off the charts and there was peacelessness on all fronts. Into these troubled times, the prophet spoke these life-giving words about a coming day in those earlier verses of unrestrained worship and praise and passion and peace. Because of the goodness of God, I think we're going to sing about that in a little while. I was thinking about that, and I was playing this when I was exercising this week. My best friend that I've never met is who? Andre Crouch. Those of you who are home turfers, you know who that is. And here are a couple of phrases from songs that he penned. I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. When confusion and troubles all around, it won't get you down. You will have my peace to surround you. He will keep us in perfect peace if we'll keep our minds stayed on him. When this world reels and rocks, confusion and trouble won't stop. We will have God's peace to surround us. I, God's promise, will keep you in perfect peace if you'll only keep your mind stayed on me. And then Danny Bell sings, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. In a world that is filled with confusion and fear, my peace I leave with you. Does anybody believe in God's perfect peace? Does anybody believe in God's perfect inside-out peace? I love, I want, I need God's promise of peace in my life. How about you? I don't want imperfect peace. I don't want inconsistent peace to dominate my life. This peace that we're speaking of, perfect peace, comes from heaven. It's a gift of the season for sure, from the very nature, character, and the heart of God. Permanent peace, perfect peace, and you know I use that word sparingly. A thought for you. I'm here to proclaim today that it's possible to get off the internal roller coaster of constantly alternating between peace and conflict based on external things, happenings. We don't have to live trusting God one moment and doubting him the next. Things can be settled in our hearts. God has a better way than to vacillate from joy and peace to anxiety, dread, fear, personal insecurity. Here, this is in my spell check. We don't have to live with peaceophrenia. Somebody ought to write that down. Do you know what that would be? I mean, the extremes. You don't have to live there. Why? Because perfect peace is possible. God's promised it. And his word is true, meaning wholeness, completeness, the fullness, all of peace. This comes from, only from, being at total peace with God. There's no longer a sense of internal dread about the unknown. It's living daily and securely in his loving approval and from his loving approval and acceptance in Christ. Circumstances may not be so good, but I'm good with God, and I believe with all my heart he's good with me. Any testimonies out there? I'm good with God, and I believe with all my heart that he's good with me. I have his peace. When you have a love relationship with God through Jesus and only through Jesus, he gives you a portion of his peace and then some, more than you need. It's in you. It's available to you. And God's peace goes, as Scripture says, beyond our human ability to figure it out or even explain it or even understand it ourselves. But how many of you know it's real? Has anybody experienced God's peace in an unlikely situation besides me over and over again? I remember my family, we were going through my mother's tragic death on the highway when I was in college and in January and just after the blizzard hit or just before it hit. And I think one of the greatest testimonies that came from our family that people kept saying after all, in this tragic sense of loss, God's peace in you was unmistakable. What a powerful witness. What a powerful witness in a frantic, chaotic world. God's peace is active in real life, in real time. I'll call it real time living. God's peace-filled presence is present all along our journey, the ever-bending road of life. Jesus speaks of it in John 16, 33. He said, I have told you all this stuff than the verses before, these difficult things. I've told you all this. I've given you a heads up so that you may have peace, what? In me. He's saying, I'm the only peace source. You're looking all the wrong places. I'm a one-stop peace source. Come to me. Here on earth, mark it down, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. In other words, he's saying, we win. God's kingdom endures forever. Oh, family bickering happens over small things in our lives. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many experienced family bickering over the last few days? Nobody, right? You'll still step on your spouse's or your kids or your parents' last nerve. Children and grands will still frustrate you at times, and you'll be longing for taillights and not just headlights. Pain and suffering happen in our world and we don't understand it, and finances can sometimes be tight and misunderstanding occurs and your favorite team loses. But hear me, this is your takeaway for sure. Peace is never to be found in the absence of problems. God's favor is not seen in the absence of problems. True peace is found in the presence of God through a relationship with his son, Jesus. In fact, genuine peace, inside-out peace, is the reality, the real-time reality of God's presence and perspective, that this is not all there is. So, mindful, like mind-full, peace. The battle for peace, God's peace, rages in heart and mind. And we're often distracted and we know the truth, but our minds wander with an A. And because our minds wander through distraction, then we tend to wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R, when circumstances of life unfold that distract us and we start to doubt. And we lean into peaceophrenia. We sometimes are so quick to speak of God's peace for everybody else, but we're sometimes slow to embrace it for ourselves and our circumstance. We want to believe God's peace is perfect sometimes, but there are times we just don't feel it. Is that okay? Well, certainly it is. Let's go to Isaiah 26 again, 3 and 4. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. That's the kicker. All who keep trusting in you, regardless of what you see or feel. All whose thoughts are fixed. That's a word of permanence, isn't it? That's a decisive word, like settle it. You fix, our thoughts are fixed on you. So trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. In other words, he's the source. He's the one you go to. He's the shelter in the time of storm, as we used to sing. We must keep our minds in this season on the truth of God's word, not how we feel, not circumstances. And we do that by keeping his word in us, in us, in us, in us, in us. So this season, we've got to do the big shift from whatever to locking our gaze on him. Don't fix your mind on news and podcasts and finances and problems and health and future and sports teams. We can live in perfect peace when we fix our thoughts on his truth. To lean completely upon, to let our full weight, to rest upon him, to rest in the truth of God's unfailing promise. In other words, we can live in the perfect peace zone. We can have God's perfect peace within us regardless of the storms of life, because storms happen. How many of you know that? They have, they are, and they will. So I ask you, honestly, what is your mind fixed on today, right now? What's consuming? Who's consuming your thoughts? What does your idle mind tend to drift towards? Just asking, not accusing. But whatever it is, will it matter for eternity? How many times the things that so consume us in this moment won't matter next Sunday, and certainly not next month and next year? True? Because we know, again, from God's word, this is not all there is. Who are you looking to for peace? If you're looking for peace in a person, you are going to be sorely disappointed every time. But there is a peace plan, and here it is. One of my favorite life passages, Philippians 4, and I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we believe in brothers and sisters around here. One final thing. I mean, final thoughts, you know, like before you're going out the door, those are the most, don't forget this. Don't get home late. Final thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true. This is the pathway to peace. And honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable, think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you have heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Man, I think Paul had a right and reason to write that, didn't he? Because he was on track regardless of the horrible things that he was experiencing that ended up with a martyr's death. Wow. This reads really well. But when we put it into practice in real time, in real life, it's not always easy. But that's our source of perfect peace, activating that within us. God's plan for experiencing abiding peace in your heart. God's peace will be with you always because his peace is within you when you know him. We shouldn't expect the world that does not know the peace of God in their hearts to experience perfect peace. He is the only source. And so we can say together something like this, or saying, God is good. He's the source of all truth. All of his promises are true. His word never fails. Lord, you're my guide and my strength, my comforter. Absolutely nothing can separate me from your love. When my thoughts are fixed on you, oh God, I am more than a conqueror. 14:27 of John, Jesus said again, I am leaving you with a gift. Christmas, the blessing season, is so dominated by gifts. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. I want to tell you, that's the best gift in any and every circumstance. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled. There's a story in the Bible in Mark 4, 35 through 41, and I won't read it, just to summarize it. Jesus was out on his, with his disciples on the sea when a major storm, a quick storm, blew in that shallow sea, and they experienced, these experienced seamen were filled with fear, and so it must have been something serious. They were worked up, and Jesus was sleeping peacefully. When they awakened him quickly, they shook him awake and said, "Don't you even care that we're about to die?" They were in the middle of the storm on the outside, and they had storms on the inside, we know, at that point in time. And they were focused on, they were intimidated by the weather, the waves, the wind, and they doubted Jesus because they were focused on the circumstances. And before we get too critical of them, how about us? Jesus woke up. It doesn't say it in the Bible, but he probably yawned and he probably stretched. And then he turned into the wind and said, "Peace, be still." You know why Jesus could speak peace? Because he had it. Did you hear me? "Peace, be still." That's a good breath prayer. Maybe the next time your child's acting up, "Peace, be still." I wouldn't recommend saying that to your spouse. "Well, Jesus said it. Well, Jesus told me to tell you that." Ha ha, boy. Pastors get quoted in fights at home, believe me. Jesus, who is peace, gives you his peace. And you can be kept by that perfect peace as long as you keep your thoughts fixed on him. We're prone to distractions, but the good news is when we get distracted, we can refocus, can we not? Be intentional. I'll say it again. Keep renewing your mind in God's word. I talk a lot about those breath prayers, and I have several I use. But again, that's a good one for this season. When things seem to come unraveled, peace, be still. Another one of mine is what? John 12, 28. "Father, bring glory to your name, even in this storm. May your peace shine through me. Father, you have blessed me to be a blessing. Your word says I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So if that's possible, I can declare your perfect peace right now. My heart is filled with love for you and for your people. I'm choosing to take my thoughts captive and to replace them with God's truth, not my feelings, but the fact, the truth of your word. I will choose to respond. I will not just react. I'm going to respond out of your perfect peace that is within me." I want to tell you, being a pastor in these days is a lonely place to be. You know why? Emotions are huge. I never dreamed at this stage of life, after doing it for 45 plus years, that emotion, that I would be as emotional as I am. Because you know what? On a week like this, there are always unbelievably wonderful things happening, and there are terrible things happening at the same time. And we're representing God's peace in the middle of it all and speaking God's peace no matter what. Even to people who don't want to hear it, who haven't experienced it. I told you before, studies tell us, and I think it's less now, but only 10 pastors out of 100 make it from the start of ministry to retirement. Only 10 out of 100. Why? This, the emotional stress, not because of moral failure, that's not it. I've read recently, and I couldn't remember the source to check it out today, but 85% of pastors end their ministry within the first 5 years across the board. Wow. It's that lack of peace, that desperation, a feeling of hopelessness and helplessness. Paul could write this while in prison, facing what would become his execution. Jesus spoke peace because he had it. Paul wrote it because he had it. Paul was peaceful. Peace-F-U-L-L. Paul was peaceful even in prison. He wrote these words in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "Don't worry about anything." Okay, this is the action step. Instead, pray about everything. Old timers have told me often, I'm not sure you can worry and pray at the same time. Worry becomes prayer, but prayer can become worry, but let's stay fixed on Him. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. And thank Him for all He has done. We're really good on the telling, but often short on the thanking. Then, verse 7, then, when you pray about everything, when you tell God everything that you need, but when you thank Him for what He's done, then the Bible says you will experience His peace, God's peace, in real time, I'm adding, which excels anything we can even understand. We can't put into words. His peace, this peace, perfect peace, will guard your hearts and minds, not necessarily your body all the time, but will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. That's real time, isn't it? Continuous action all the time as we walk, as we live in Christ through all the circumstances. We can sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. His grace will lead me safely home. Do you have His peace? This is why we're doing baptism today. In this blessing season here, it starts before Thanksgiving and runs all the way through New Year's, the fifth season of the year. What are your thoughts fixed on? Do you have His perfect peace? Well, if you're in relationship, you do. It's in you. It's available. Do you know that? But you have to access it to experience it. God's peace guarding our hearts in Jesus Christ is never, ever to be circumstantial. The paraphrase says basically this, the world doesn't give it, and the world can't take it away. What? God's perfect peace. You want to be a witness where you work, in your home, in your neighborhood, experience God's perfect peace in the middle of troubling circumstances. Don't react. Respond. Verse 3 again of Isaiah 26. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. When we have Him, we have His perfect peace. I've told you before, but when we were ministering in Cincinnati, we had a gentleman that had several car dealerships, and he had a pretty massive marketing campaign, and we're talking about in the 80s, so that wasn't as common now. But it's and I remember that vividly, because he'd say he had a cardboard cut out of himself, the same height and all that, like a sports person. And with every new car, when somebody purchased a car from his Porsche, Datsun, whatever those things were back then, they put that silhouette of him in the back seat. And he ended the commercial saying this, when you buy a Honda, too, from Dick Osmond, you buy me. Isn't that good? Look at me. Listen. If you have Jesus, you have perfect peace. Yeah. It's available. Joel, would you, is my phone right there handy? If it is, just bring it to me. In closing, before we transition to Beth, thank you. I was thinking of some smart remark to make, but my mind was empty. Yeah. So I was thinking about it this way in closing, because baptism is so important. This celebrates people young and old having said yes to a relationship with Jesus. And because they have that now, they can experience perfect peace that's available. And I was thinking about that. One of my favorite evangelism plans that I've come across over the years of studying many is Billy Graham's evangelistic organization's plan. I don't know who wrote it, but you know what it's called? Steps to Peace with God. That's what it's called. You can access it online for sure. And it says, God's plan for you, peace and life. Are you experiencing that? If not, you're living less than what He's provided For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Step two, the problem, our separation from God. Our sin separates us from God, making it impossible to experience his peace on our own. Sin is disobedience to God. It causes separation from God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, in Romans 3:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Step three, God's remedy is what? What? God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to bridge the gap caused by sin. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus made it possible for us to be reconciled to God. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. 1 Peter 3:18. Step four, our response is to receive Christ. We must individually. Your parents can't do it for you. Godly grandparents won't do it for you. They can pave the way, but they can't make the decision. We must individually receive Christ, Jesus Christ, as our Savior and Lord. Through faith, we can be born into God's family. It's as simple as a prayer, but it's as deep as what's rooted in your heart. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's why we can say our identity is, I am a child of God. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you accept Christ. It's not a Nazarene, Baptist, whatever way. It's a biblical way. Admit your need. That's called confession. When I played basketball, we used to have to raise our hands when the ref called a foul on us and wave it. It'd be a technical if you didn't raise your hand. Some of us need to just raise our hand and acknowledge it. Second, be willing to turn from your sins. That's called repentance. I did it. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm wrong. Thirdly, believe that Jesus Christ died for you and rose again. Believe. Believe. With all your being. And finally, invite Jesus into your life. That invitation, that is a prayer of faith, a prayer of God confidence that he'll do what he promised. And we can pray something like this, and you can, no matter where you are online today, if it's in your heart, not wandering off into being distracted, but focusing on him. Dear God, I recognize, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask you right now, today, in this moment, for forgiveness. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that he died for my sins and that you raised him from the dead. You raised him to new life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord of all from this day forward. I'm asking you to guide my life and to help me to do your will. And I pray this with a heart full of God confidence. I pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, it's that simple.